So this evening we'd like to give a final talk about this subject matter, about respect. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of this subject. It's such a vast subject. We're just touching on different aspects of it very, very lightly. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes in his commentary in the last chapter, the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, Madhuryena Samapayat, that any subject matter should conclude with something sweet. So we've been feeling a little heavy-hearted the last few days with some very strong subject matters. Strong but very important. We may want to build a big skyscraper of rasa, but that skyscraper has to have a foundation. And the foundation of the skyscraper of rasa is Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So we should have a very strong foundation so we can have a very big building. In our discussion about respect, we've come to the point of discussing how bhakti should be the most respected. And amongst different bhaktas, our Gurudev should be the most respected because he's considered to be a manifestation of Krishna. Krishna himself tells Uddhava, Acharyamam vijaniyam navamanita karichit. You should understand that Sri Gurudev is not different from myself. Similarly, in the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 15, text 26, Narad Muni, he tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yasya sakshad bhagavati gyanadipa prade guru matsaya di srutam tasya sarvam kunjara sochavat. He says that the guru should be considered to be directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he gives transcendental knowledge of enlightenment. Consequently, someone who maintains a material conception that the guru is an ordinary person, Narad Muni tells Yudhishthir, such a person, for him, everything is frustrated. Sarvam kunjara sochavat. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are just like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant takes bath in the water and becomes cleansed, but then it comes back on the land and again becomes dirty. There's no value to the bathing of an elephant. Sarvam kunjara sochavat. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes an interesting commentary. He says, Kim cha satyam bhuyasyam api bhakto guru manusha buritve sarvam eva vyartam bhavitye cha ata aha yashiti sakshad bhagavatiti bhagavad angsa budhir api guru nakaryeti bhavaha yadva upashe bhagavateva sakshad vidyamane marcha saddhi marcha iti durbuddhistasya shrutam bhagavan mantrarikam shravana mananarikam cha vyartam ityartaha. He says that even if someone engages in very intense practices of devotion to the Lord, all those activities are useless if someone thinks that their guru is an ordinary person. The word sakshad bhagavati in this verse, Vishwanath says, clearly indicate that one must think of the guru as a supreme Lord himself and not even as a mere expansion of the Lord. We should consider that our Gurudev is directly a manifestation of Sri Krishna. Alternatively, even if the Lord, the supreme object of worship, is personally present as guru, if one has a demented intelligence to think that he's an ordinary human being, then whatever things he's gotten from Guru, his mantras received at the time of initiation, his instructions in shastra, his devotional practice, cease to have any effect. Vishnu says this is the intention of this verse. So important is Sri Gurudev. He's non-different from Krishna. So, how do we respect, how do we worship our Gurudev? This is described in many different places. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes the Vamana Kalpa. Yo mantra sa guru sakshad, yo guru sahari swayam, guru yasya bhavet tushta, tasya tushto hari swayam. You should know that yo mantra sa guru sakshad. Your mantra is none different from your Gurudev. And yo guru sahari swayam. Your Gurudev is a manifestation of Lord Hari. Guru yasya bhavet tushtas. If you please your guru, then tasya tushto hari swayam. Then Krishna becomes pleased. That mantra, that holy name that we've gotten, is none different from our Gurudev. We know some people who say that chanting Hare Krishna is very difficult. There's so many offenses there. And Gurudev, he's so merciful. So we chant Gurudev's name on our japa mala, isn't it? We know some people like that. They say Gurudev is more merciful. So we chant his name. And that's okay. There's some logic to that. But we have a better idea. What's better than chanting the name of the Guru? Pleasing the Guru. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Jadi ama pratisnaya taki sabakar, tabe Krishna vyati rita nagayideyar. If you really love me, you love my instructions. You chant Krishna's name and no one else's name. So our chanting of Krishna Nam is our worship of Gurudev. And that's the most important thing for us. When we speak about offering respect, this is the most important aspect of respect. We want to please our Gurudev according to his instructions, not according to our speculation. Oh, my Gurudev would like it very much. On Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day, I'll just put pictures of my Gurudev all over. Bhaktivinoda, he's very rasik also. He'll like that very much. And I'll worship my Gurudev instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They're doing like that. That's not service to Guru. What will Guru say about that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur might like it. Your Guru is such an exalted personality. But I don't know about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. What will my Gurudev say? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a very exalted personality. He's the guru of our guru's guru. We don't know what he will say. Maybe he might like that thing. But my Gurudev, he's given me a different instruction. He's told me that you chant Krishna Nam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati, Prakashananda Saraswati told him, why are you chanting this Krishna Nam and running around with these Hare Krishna people and chanting and dancing on the street? This is giving all of the sannyasis a very bad reputation. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, I'm very sorry. Murka tumi toma nahi ka vedantai ka Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra sa Murka tumi toma nahi ka vedantai ka Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra sa. He says, what can I do? This is the instruction of my Gurudev. My Gurudev told me, Murkatumi, Tomar, Nahika Vedanta Adhikar. You're a fool. You don't have qualification for Vedanta Sutra. Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra sar. This is your instruction. You chant Hare Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, one can become perfectly successful in the mission of his life if he acts according to the words he's heard from the mouth of his spiritual master. This acceptance of the words of the guru is called Shrota Vakya, which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instructions. And in particular, he's referring here that what instruction? This instruction to chant Krishna Nam. Mm-hmm. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Kant remarks in this connection that a disciple must accept the words of his guru as his life and soul. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here confirms this by saying his guru ordered him only to chant the holy name of Krishna. And because of that, he always chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to his direction. Krishna Mantra Japa Sadas A Mantra Sar. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, only fools give up the service of the guru and think themselves advanced in spiritual knowledge. In order to check such fools, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself presented the perfect example of how to be a disciple. A spiritual master knows very well how to engage each disciple in a particular duty, but if a disciple, thinking himself more advanced than his guru, gives up his order and acts independently, he checks his own spiritual progress. Every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna and must always be ready to carry out the orders of the guru to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before his guru. So this is proper respect. As we were reading earlier today, Devadyuti, in Padma Purana, Jiva Goswami quotes this in Bhakti Sandarbha, Devadyuti says that for me, service to my Gurudev is more important than service or devotion to Krishna. Because if I serve my Guru and please him, then Krishna will definitely become pleased. There's no problem. Srimad Vrindavan Das Thakur, he says that Siddhir Bhavati Vaneti Sangsayo Chuta Sevenam Nisamsayas Tutad Bhakta Paricharat Manatmanam. He says, very interesting thing. He says, there's some doubt whether or not the personal associates of Krishna will attain perfection. He says like this. There's some doubt. He says, but there's absolutely no doubt that those persons who are attached to serving Krishna's servants, there's no doubt that they'll attain perfection. So, if we want perfection, we have to serve Krishna's devotee. We have to serve Sri Guru. That's the perfection of respect. And this respect overrules any other type of respect. And how do we serve Gurudev? Acharjera mata jay se mata sar. We serve Guru by following his instructions. And his instruction is, you chant Krishna Nam. Adi Purana describes it, Nama Paramam Guru. That the holy name is your Gurudev. Rupa Goswami describes in his Pajavali, Ataguru Sri Paradvanva Bhaktim. That the holy name will give you bhakti to your Gurudev. That's why we're chanting it. We don't chant the name of our Gurudev. We chant the name he's given us to chant. Krishna, he tells Sudama Vipra about his brahmachari days in Sandapani Muni's ashram. Naham ija prajad dhibhyam tapasa pasamena va tushyeyam sarva bhutatma guru shushu shayayata. He says, I'm not so pleased by someone who has taken sannyas, by someone who's following the principles of brahmacharya, someone who's following the principles of grihastha ashram, or someone who's living like a vairagi, renunciate, as much as I am by someone who pleases his guru. The poet Sanatan Das is sung in this regard. Mahi maya guru Krishna eka kore jana guru agya hride sabha sach kore mane. You should understand that your Gurudev and Krishna are one in glory. And understanding this, Guru Agya Hride Sabha Satya Kori Mani, you should accept the instruction of your Gurudev to be divine reality. Haridas Thakur, he's displayed what it means to be nishtha to the instruction of our Guru, what it means to be nishtha to the holy name. When the Chankazi brought him before him and chastised him, what are you doing? Taking up this Hindu dharma, hanging out with all those Hare Krishnas, chanting Hare Krishnas is very bad. You're born in a very high-class family, very nice Muslim family. Why are you doing this low-class thing? Haridas Thakur replied to him. He told Haridas Thakur, "You chant, stop chanting this Hare Krishna, or I'm going to kill you." And Haridas Thakur said, "Kanda kanda hai deha jai jari pran, tabu ami vadane na chare hare na." He told them, "You can do that. You can kill me. You can cut my body into pieces. But each piece of that body will continue to chant Hare Krishna. Because I can't give up the chanting of the holy name. This is Guru Nishtha." And such a person who has this attitude, they meet with their Gurudev. Avayura para madhujalila guna rupa namna pratikshanasva pratikshanasva tadana lolupasya vande guru shri charanaravindam vande guru shri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in one commentary in the Bhagavatam, he says that the function of the disciple is to be anubhav of his Gurudev, following in the mood of the Guru. He says that how will one know what the mood of his Guru is? You don't know if you go to Nuhari Prabhu and you ask him, "Prabhuji, what are you experiencing when you chant the holy name? What are you relishing?" He won't tell you that thing. Because he keeps that thing very, very private. But Sadhu Guru, he's relishing the holy name. But how do we know what kind of relishment he's doing? Vishwanath says, just like a rich man, you don't know how much money he has. And if you go to him and say, "Dear sir, please tell me, how much money do you have in your bank account?" He won't tell you. But if you follow him around and you observe him, you can understand something about the nature of his wealth. If you see what kind of car he drives, what kind of clothes he wears, how many servants he has, what kind of house he lives in, what kind of food he eats, you can understand something about him. So in the same way, he says a disciple should always be watching Gurudev to try to see and try to understand what is it that he's relishing in his holy name. So this is really our service to Guru. We should relish. Srila Prabhupada, he describes described in one lecture in Vrindavan on Nectar of Devotion in 1972 at the Radha Damodar Temple. He said this Shraddha has to be increased. Then when you come to the point of Ruchi, Vasudev Katha Ruchi, that is the beginning of our perfection. At the present moment, there's no Ruchi, no taste. There are so many exalted persons, but they have no taste. They've lost all taste. The preachers could not preach properly to create taste in the people in general. It's not the fault of the people, it's the fault of the so-called preachers. Because they could not create taste, they wanted to take the place of Krishna. That was their purpose. Imitation of Krishna, imitation of God, that will not do. You have to create taste, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So this is what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to be a preacher. We have to relish. It's not just a business that we've come here for. But we should relish what Srila Prabhupada is giving. We should relish what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. That relishment is such a powerful thing. Sometimes we ask a little riddle that we compiled. It has three parts. I'd be curious to see if any of you can answer this riddle. It's three questions. The first question is, who is Krishna's greatest devotee? The second question is, what service does that devotee render that makes that devotee the best? And the third question is, What is the best evidence, the best proof of questions number, answers number one and two? So can anyone say, who is the best devotee of Krishna? Prabhuji? Srimati Radharani. Will anyone argue with that? How can anyone argue with that? Srimati Radharani is certainly the greatest devotee. But what service is it? If we want to say that Radharani is the greatest devotee, then it's very important. We would like to know what exact service is it that she does that makes her the greatest devotee. No, Hare Prabhu? Chanting Hare Krishna. But if we just say that quality alone, you don't mind me saying this, if we just say that chanting Hare Krishna alone is the quality that makes Srimati Radharani the greatest devotee, I'm also chanting Hare Krishna, you're chanting Hare Krishna, she's chanting Hare Krishna, so why aren't we as great a devotees as Radharani? She enjoys Krishna. Very, very good. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes three principal reasons why Krishna comes as Mahaprabhu. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kiddhi Sovanayaiva Swadyo Yenid Bhuta Madhuri Makiddhi Sova Madhyaha. Swadyo means to taste. Krishna wants to know, what is it that she's relishing? What is it that she's tasting? We ask this question many times. You've all done very good. And that's a very good answer, chanting Hare Krishna. Sometimes devotees, they say, she cooks for Krishna. I also cook for Krishna, but I'm not like Radharani. No, she preaches. Well, there's a lot of devotees who are preaching. She offers tambo, one devotee once told us. But what quality is it? What specific thing? It's Radharani's relishment. Excuse me? Selfless service. Some people also do selfless service, but it's the quality of Radharani's service. Her relishment is so great that it drives Krishna mad. He wants to come. So, what? No, Haripu, you can't answer this. Okay, not allowed. What is the perfect evidence of the first two answers? There has to be a perfect evidence because Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not sentimental. We want some proof that Radharani is the best devotee and that her relishment is her greatest quality. What's the best proof of that?
Is it her love for?
Yes, her love, her relishment. That's the quality. But what is the best proof? Yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the best proof. You can't come with any better proof than that. Krishna himself has come. Radha Bhava Duti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Sarupam. He's come in the mood of Radharani. So don't think this is just like some business organization that you come and the purpose is to get some scores and sell so many books and get so much money and get some prestige. The purpose of this organization is that we should relish. Madhuram, madhuram, etan mangalanam, mangalanam, sakala nigama vali satphalam chitswarupam, sakrid api parigitam, shridaya helaya vabriguvara nara matram tarayat krishna nama. Of all the sweet things, madhuram, madhuram, krishna nam is the sweetest thing. Of all the auspicious things, Krishna Nam is the most auspicious. Krishna Nam Sakama Nigamavali Chitsurupam. It's Chitsurup. It's pure consciousness and a manifestation of the holy name. And it's a natural fruit of all the Vedic literatures. And whether someone recites that name with faith or in a neglectful way, that person will become delivered. The holy name is such a thing. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It's full of rasa, it's full of chaitanya, it's full of consciousness. It's Chintamani. It'll give us whatever that thing is that we desire. Rupa Goswami describes it, Sri Chaitanya Makod Giranam Hare Krishna Te Uchitai Majayanto Jagat Premni Vijayantam Tadalaya. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Hare Krishna mantra was coming from his mouth. He initiated the whole world into the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Do you ever wonder why it is that before we get first initiation, we're chanting Hare Krishna? What is the meaning of first initiation? Is it just some empty ritual trying to say that now you belong to us, you belong to this institution? No, there's some purpose to it. But what does it mean? Before initiation, we're chanting Hare Krishna in our beads. And I've never seen anyone at the time of first initiation speak the mantra into the ear of the disciple. What does it mean? It's not necessary, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has already given everyone the holy name. He's given everyone the Hare Krishna mantra. So it's not necessary to be initiated to chant that Hare Krishna mantra. Majayanta jagat premi vijayantam tadavaya. He's drowning this whole universe in ecstasy because of this. So then what is the meaning of first initiation? There's some clue in Raghunath Das Goswami's prayers. Nama shrestam manamapi sachi putra matra sarupam. He says, my Gurudev gave me the topmost name. Jiva Goswami, in one purport in 6th Canto Bhagavatam, describes as two types of name, two types of chanting. Kevala Naam, common chanting. And Sneha Samyukta, or chanting with love. First initiation means a formal ceremony in which my Gurudev has accepted me. I'm surrendering to him. That's what initiation means. I've surrendered to this person. And this person has accepted me, and he's declared to Krishna, he belongs to me. He's in my camp. And then by the mercy of my Gurudev, I'll understand something of the mood of his relishment in the holy name. So our Gurudev, he's always engaged in chanting the names of Krishna. This is the mood of Radharani and her sakis. It's described by Chandidas. Na jani ko te kamadu shamamane ache gobadani charite nahi pare. Radharani, she says, oh Sakhi, what kind of nectar is there in the name of Sham? Oh, my dear girl companion, my tongue doesn't want to leave this name. So this is respect. This is respect in our Gaudiya Vaishnav system. We respect our Gurudev even more than we respect Krishna. And the way that we respect our Gurudev is by following instructions of our Gurudev, by following our Gurudev in his relishment and chanting Krishna Nam. And for a devotee who does that, it's described, there's a verse by Lord Brahma, spoken in 10th Canto Bhagavatam. In Majjalila chapter 8, we find the Ramananda Samvad, the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is asking Ramananda Roy, what's the best thing? What's the topmost thing? And Ramananda Roy tells him so many things. He says that he quotes Pramanas from Shastra. He says that Vanashram Dharma, that's the best thing. Mahaprabhu says, that's very external. Do you have anything better? No, serving the Lord, that's better than that. Do you have anything better? Finally, he tells him, Sarva Dharma Pratyagya. Mahaprabhu says, that's okay, but that's also external. Do you have anything better than that? Finally, he spoke one verse from 10th Canto of the Bhagavatam, and it was the first thing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted. What was that verse? Gyane prayasam udapashya namanta eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shutigatam danuvan manobir ye prayaso ajito jito pasitrais trilokyam. He says, give up gyan. Gyane prayasam. Give up your speculation. How I'm going to serve the Lord, how I'm going to please the Lord, how I'm going to do my sadhana. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Our life, jivanti, is what? Sat mukaritam bhavadiya vartam. Is that bhavadiya varta, that harikatha, coming from the mouth, Jivanti Satmukharitam, from that Satmukha, that transcendental mouth of Sri Guru. That's our life. And what do you do after you've gotten that thing? What are you supposed to do with it then? He says, Stani Stita, Shruti Gitam Danuvan Manobir. Stay where you're at. You don't have to go running around like a mad person trying to figure out, oh, where am I going to get sadhu sangha? Where am I going to make advancement? You've already gotten everything. Calm down. Lord Brahma says, just sit down. Take a few deep breaths. Stani Stita, stay where you're at. And Shruti Gitam, worship that katha that you've gotten from your Gurudev. And what is that katha? That katha is the holy name. Shruti Gitam Tanuvan Manobir. How do you worship that? With your body, your mind, and your words. Because that Hari Katha is none different from our Gurudev. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bahut Murti Eka Murtikam, that Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is one, but he becomes many, as in the Ras Lila. He's one, but that same one Krishna, Advaya Tattva, becomes many in the Ras Lila. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura gives a very wonderful commentary. Chinmayinam nanatvi pyaikyam abhipraitam. He says that in the same way that Krishna is one, the holy name is also one. You've gotten one name from your Gurudev. But that one name you've gotten from your Gurudev becomes many when you're repeating that holy name. That repetition of what you've heard from your Gurudev is none different from your Gurudev's chanting. It's an echo, it's an expansion of that thing. Just as Krishna expands himself in the Ras Lila, the devotee in his bhajan, his chanting, is an expansion of what he's heard from his Gurudev. So Stani Stita Shruti Gitam Tanuvan Manobir. Stay where you're at. Worship that holy name, that Hari Katha that you've gotten from your Gurudev. And what happens if you do that? Ye praya so ajito jito pasi trice trilokyam. A very, very amazing, inconceivable thing. Krishna, who is unconquerable, ajita, he becomes conquered by such a devotee. This is the nature of devotion. That Krishna, he's Bhagavat Bhaktiman. He's Bhakta Bhaktiman. He's a devotee of his devotee, and the devotees are Bhagavat Bhaktiman. They're devotees of Krishna. Krishna becomes controlled by the love of his devotees. Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakta ama premi bandi achi hridaya bitare yaha netra pare taha dekahe amare. He says that a devotee who sees me everywhere with the eyes of love, he binds me up with a rope of love. I can't go anywhere. Lord Nisringadev tells Prahlad Maharaj in Hari Bhakti Sudadoya, Sada muktopi badhosmi bhaktena sneha rajubi ajitopi jitoaham tairavasopi visi kritam. Our Guru Maharaj like to quote this verse very much. He said, I'm Mukunda, and Sada muktopi, you should know, I'm always liberated. But Krishna says a very interesting thing, badhosmi, I become bound up by the love of my devotee. And I can't go anywhere. So this is respect. Such a devotee can even bind up Krishna. We see that this element of respect, this respect is a fundamental building block, the glue which holds together all relationships. In our sadhana, we begin by offering respect to the Lord. By worshipping Krishna, understanding his qualities as controller, as a creator of the universe, as being omniscient, we understand his position. And from that position of respect, we can continue to higher platforms. And if we analyze the devotees in Braj, we can see that their relationships with Krishna are also based upon respect. All love, all relationships are based upon respect. Every relationship in this material world, relationship between a husband and wife, is based upon respect. If there's no respect, there may be infatuation, there may be lust. But if there's no respect, that relationship can't continue. You may have some relationship of subordination to a teacher because you want good grades. But if there's no genuine respect, that relationship won't deepen and won't continue. All relationships, if we consider them, are based upon respect. And so too in the spiritual world. And Krishna, he offers respect to the nature of devotion. So we wanted to conclude this with some sweet topic. We'd like to tell all of you a story that our Guru Maharaj sometimes told in Oriya. I don't think he ever told this story in English. This is a story which comes from a book called Prabhas Kanda, which is written by Srila Vyasadeva. Very interesting story, which has something to do with the subject of respect. Devaki gave birth to 6 children in the prison of Kamsa. And one by one, Kamsa came in and took and mercilessly killed those children right in front of Devaki. I don't think persons in male bodies can understand the kind of trauma that Devaki went through, seeing her helpless babies murdered right in front of her. So she offered some prayer to the Devatas. Sometimes Vaishnavas worship the Devatas. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes Vrindabanabani Pate Jaya Soma Soma Mole Sanandana Sanatana Nada Deja Gopishvara Braja Bilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayachaniru Parinamo Namaste. The gopis, they worship Lord Shiva. He's Gopishwar. He gives entrance into the Ras Lila. So the devotees of the Lord, sometimes they worship the Devatas so that they can have some connection with Krishna. Radharani, she worships Suryadev, not because she's attached to Suryadev, but because she wants to meet with Krishna. And some of the gopis, they worship Katyayani because they want to marry Krishna. So Devaki, she offered prayers to the Devatas. And she said, please, just give me one child. And I promise, if you give me one child, then I'll do some jagya for your pleasure. So then we know that her 7th child was transferred from her womb to the womb of Rohini by Yoga Maya Devi. And that child became known, therefore, as Sankarshan or Balaram. And everyone thought that Devaki had had a miscarriage. So then she became pregnant again, and her 8th child was Sri Krishna. So then we know that Vasudev, he carried that baby across the Jamuna. And according to our acharyas, that child was actually a Vasudev expansion of Krishna. It wasn't Swayam Rup Govinda. And Vasudev, the father of Krishna, carried him across the Jamuna to that maternity room in Gokul. And there Yashoda gave him birth to twins. But by the potency of Yoga Maya, Vasudev couldn't see baby Krishna there. And he placed that Vasudev expansion down, and that Vasudev expansion entered into the body of Nandanandan Krishna. So Devaki offered a prayer like this. Around the same time, Narad Muni was going to visit Indra in Amaravati. And he saw that Indra looked very depressed. And Narad Muni said, Indraji, why are you looking so sad? And Narad Muni told him, oh, you know, I made some big mistake. And Narad Muni said, what is that? He said, I didn't understand Krishna's position. I just thought that he was some ordinary little boy. And I made a big mistake. When I saw that he was telling the Brijbasis not to do my worship, I became angry. And I sent the Sambardic cloud. And then showered down rain on the residence in Braj, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. I realized I committed some offense, and I came with a Sarabi cow in front of me and begged forgiveness, and Krishna forgave me. But I'm so unfortunate that I didn't get to see his Bala Leela because of my foolishness, because I couldn't appreciate Krishna. I didn't get to see his childhood pastimes, which is so very, very sweet and so very, very special. So Narad Muni told him, you'd like to see those pastimes? He said, yes. So Narad Muni said, anyway, I'll make some arrangement. Mm-hmm. So we know that Krishna grew up in Braj, and he was known as the son of Yashoda. And later, he was taken by Akura away from Vrindavan to Mathura, and then later on to Dwarka. And when Krishna was in Dwarka, Narad Muni arrived there one day, and he saw that Devaki was there with the mother of Kamsa. What was her name? Padmavati. And Narad Muni, he came to Devaki and he said, hey Devaki, what are you doing? You're a great Kshatriya lady. You made some promise and you're not fulfilling your promise. And Devaki, she said, oh, what promise is that? What have I not done? And Narad Muni said, I know you made some promise to the Devatas that you would do some jagya for their pleasure. And you didn't do that. You promised that if you got a son, a child, then you would do some jagya. And you didn't just get any son. You got Sri Krishna, the greatest son. So you should fulfill that. So Devaki said, oh, you're right. So Naradaji, how should I do that? So Narada, then he gave her some instruction. He said, near here there's a very sacred place called Prabhas. Near to Dwarka. And you should go there with all the Brahmins and they should have some big jagya and they should chant mantra and Krishna can offer ghee in the fire while that's going on. And you should invite all the different persons all over the world to come and take part in this jagya. So Padmavati was there, Kamsa's rather senile and crazy mother. And Padmavati, she said, so Narad Muni, could you help us please? Narad Muni said, yes, what is it you need? She said, well, we have a problem. To go and invite everybody around the world is a very difficult thing. But Narad Muni, he has a flight plan. He's a transcendental spaceman. Could you please go and invite everybody? And Narad Muni said, yes, no problem, I can do that. Then Padmavati says, but one thing. Don't invite those Brajbasis. Narad Muni said, why? He said, you know those rascals, They're always trying to say that Krishna's the son of Yashoda. But we know Krishna's really the son of Devaki. And they mistreated Krishna very badly when he was there in Braj. They didn't feed him enough. He was always very hungry. And because he was so hungry, he had to go and steal butter from the gopis. They were so cruel to him, they made him wander around in the forest with no shoes on. And there's thorns and things. And there was hot sun. They didn't even give him an umbrella. They abuse him very bad. You don't invite those Brijbasis. Padmavati's a little wacko. So Narad Muni, he said, okay, no problem. And he left that place. And the first place that he went afterwards was to Braj. Because Narad Muni is a troublemaker. So when he went to Braj, he went to the house of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Knocked on the door. And they came out and they saw Naradaji. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were just crying in separation from Krishna. When they saw Narad Muni, they knew, Narada, he's a great devotee of Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, she said, Naradaji, have you seen my Krishna? Can you tell me something about him? How is he doing? Does he remember his mother sometimes? And Narad Muni said, you haven't heard the news? Mother Yashoda said, no, what news? You didn't hear Krishna's doing a big jagya? And he's been inviting everybody from all over the world? He didn't invite you? Mother Yashoda became very sad. My Krishna, he's doing some jagya and he didn't invite us? And Narad Muni, and then Nanda Maharaj, he said, you silly woman, he's our son. We don't need an invitation. We'll just go. The story is told in Prabhaskanda. So then they prepared. They started packing their belongings and things. And they prepared to go to Prabhas, to Dwarka, to see Krishna. Word very quickly spread throughout Braj that Nanda Baba and Yashoda Rani were on their way to Dwarka to see Krishna. All the other Brajbasis, they also wanted to go. Ruttuk and Patruk, they came and said, "Hey, Nanda Baba, please, can we also go with you? We want to see Krishna." Sridham and Subal, they came. "We want to see our bosom buddy, our dear friend. We also want to go." All the gopis wanted to go. All the cows, they also wanted to go. They're also missing Krishna. They also started falling along behind. And the dogs, and the birds, and even the fish in the Jamuna River. "Yes, we'll also go. We'll swim down the Jamuna to the ocean. We also want to go." So everyone went to that place. So Narad Muni, he went around the world and invited everybody. And then he went back to Dwarka, and they fixed up this jagya in Prabhas. And Prabhavati, she asked Narad Muni, said, "So did you invite everybody?" Narad Muni said, "Yes, everybody's been invited. All the invitations have gone out. Everything's okay." And Prabhavati said, "You didn't invite those Brajbasis, did you?" And Narad Muni said, "Oh, God." He said, "I knew you told me something. I'm very, very sorry. I forgot. Yes, we invited them." So Padmavati became a little annoyed. She said, "Anyway, Devaki and I will stand here at the gateway. And when these Brajbasis come, we'll tell them they're not allowed inside." So Narad Muni said, "Okay." So then Narad Muni, he went to see Indra. He said, "So Indraji, you told me once before you wanted to see Krishna's Bala Leela. Would you still like to see that?" And Narad Muni said, "Yes." So Krishna said, "You come with me." So Narad Muni brought Indra. And Indra and Narad Muni are standing next to Devaki and Padmavati. And then Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and the Brajbasis showed up. And they started to go through the gate. And then Padmavati, she stopped and she said, "Hey!" "Probation," he said, "you're not allowed inside." And Yashoda said, "Well, our Krishna's there. My son is there." "He's not your son. Krishna's the son of Devaki. He's not your son. You can't tell a mother that her child is not her son. You can't tell Mother Yashoda that Krishna's not her son." He said, "No, he's my son." And Padmavati said, "No, he's the son of Devaki." So there was some dispute. So they decided, "We'll ask Narad Muni. He can solve this problem." So now Narad Muni was in a very difficult situation. If he says that Krishna is the son of Devaki, he'll break the heart of Yashoda. And if he says that Krishna is the son of Yashoda, then he'll break the heart of Devaki. But Narad Muni is very clever. He said, "Well, actually it's very difficult to say. But learned persons have declared that a child will always naturally come when the mother calls him. So both of you should call for Krishna. And whoever Krishna comes to, then we can understand that must be Krishna's mother." And Padmavati said, "Yes, very, very good. So Devaki, you call for Krishna." So Devaki, she started calling, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." But while all this was going on, the Brahmins were doing jagya. They were chanting mantras. Om Sahasra Sirsa Purusaha Sahasraksha Sahasrapat Sabhumin Visvato Vritya Atyatista Dasangulam Swaha. And Krishna's pouring ghee in the fire. Krishna couldn't hear her. Brahmins were chanting so loudly. And Devaki was calling again, "Krishna, Krishna." And nothing happened. Finally, she got tired and she turned to Yashoda. She said, "Okay, Didi, you call." And then Yashoda, she started calling out, "Kanu, Kanu." Krishna was pouring ghee in the fire and the Brahmins were chanting mantra. Suddenly, Krishna stopped. And he said, "What's that sound?" And they said, "Oh, there's some village people here. Some villagers and some woman's calling something. Village. Some people from Braj. Braj? Ma? Huh? And Krishna suddenly dropped his shruk, the spoon in the fire, and he jumped up. And that Aishvarya Moya Rup, that form of opulence known as Dwarkadish, suddenly disappeared. All of his clothes fell off, and he became little Balagopal, 3-year-old Krishna. And he started running. Ma! 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 And Yashoda was calling out, Kanu! Kanu! And Krishna was running, and he ran and leaped into the arms of Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda embraced him very tightly. And Mother Yashoda began to cry. At the same time, the milk from her breasts was pouring out. And it's described that it was just like giving bath to Krishna, the Triveni. Mother Yashoda's tears were coming down through her eyes, and the kajal was making those tears blackish like the water from the Jamuna. It was giving Krishna a bath. At the same time, the milk from her breast was white, just like the Ganga. And at the same time, she was embracing Krishna and bathing him in her love and affection of her heart, which no one could see, just like the Sarasvati River. So in this way, Mother Yashoda bathed Krishna in her love. And then Narad Muni, he turned to Indra, and he said, so? Are you happy now? Have you seen Krishna? So this is respect. We respect the devotees even more than we respect Krishna, because Krishna becomes bound up by their love. Krishna comes running when Mother Yashoda calls him. And we respect those devotees according to the degree of their love. Devaki has so much love and devotion for Krishna. But for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we always insist that Mother Yashoda, she's the mother of Krishna. And we offer her the most respect. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we think of Krishna as Yashoda Nandan, not Devaki Nandan. And our acharyas have given so many different descriptions in this regard. Krishna, his avirbhav was in Mathura, but his janma was in Gokul. This is described by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Baladi Vidyabhushan, Rupa Goswami, Harivamsa Purana describes this. Baladi Vidyabhushan writes about this thing. There's a difference between these two concepts. Avirbhav is a very amazing thing. If all of a sudden Krishna with his Shankar Chakra Gada Padma forearms would appear here in the middle of this room, it would be very amazing. That's avirbhav. And that's what Krishna did in the prison of Kamsa. But there was no puff of smoke and a light like that in Gokul. Krishna was born as a baby from Mother Yashoda. In the Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami describes that the Jata Karma Sangskara was performed by Nanda Maharaj, meaning he cut the umbilical cord of Krishna. This is a very good evidence that Krishna is the son of Yashoda. Unless that umbilical cord reached all the way across the Jamuna River in the Mathura. Krishna is the son of Yashoda. And Krishna manifested himself as Yashoda's son because of her love. So this is proper respect. This is how we respect and love Krishna, by loving Krishna's devotees. So we'll stop there. Are there any comments or questions from anybody? Yes. Harivamsa Purana describes like that. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes one verse in that regard. Let's see, I think I can find that quickly. Spend so much time looking, but there's one verse he quotes in his purport, the 10th canto, how from Harivamsa Purana, describing how Mother Yashoda had twins. She directly gave birth to Krishna, but Vasudev couldn't see that because of Yoga Maya. And he was bringing Vasudev Krishna, Krishna's expansion, who appeared in the prison house of Kamsa. And when he brought that child, Yoga Maya covered him over. He couldn't see baby Krishna was there. And he placed Vasudev Krishna on the bed. That Vasudev Krishna entered into the body of Nandanandan Krishna, who swam Rupa Govinda. Vasudev only saw the baby girl. And he took that child, who, and that's another subject matter, was actually Yoga Maya. And she, Yoga Maya stayed in Braj in an unseen form. And he took Mahamaya with him to Mathura. And then Kamsa tried to kill her and like that. Anything else, Mataji? Chanakya Pandit, he describes that respect indicates service and submission. Respect indicates many things, and we've spoken about many of these things in our talks. Respect indicates that we're willing to listen to someone else. Respect indicates that we have some feelings of affection for them, that we consider that person to be a good person, someone that we can be friends with, someone that we can appreciate. And people respond to that. If we have no feelings of respect, no one will listen to you. If we're giving a talk and we have no respect for the devotees, if we're trying to instruct a child and you have no respect, appreciation for them, if you're speaking to a husband or wife or friends and you have no respect for them, they won't listen to us. So respect is very, very essential. So anything else? Chanakya Pandit describes that by rendering service, he says that Vinayashya Mulam Bhidupasaeva, by offering service to superiors. And he says if someone does it, Bhidusevaya Vigyanam, by rendering that service, we gain wisdom. So respect means that we should do something. Doesn't just mean a passive thing, but it means that we should act in some particular way. So, as we've been describing, respect ultimately means we should respect Krishna, because Krishna is the root. Yatatura mula nisechi natripyanti tatskanda bujo pasakaha. We pour water on the root of a tree and everything else becomes satisfied. So if we satisfy Krishna, then everyone else becomes satisfied if we respect him. And how do we respect Krishna? By respecting Krishna's devotees. How do we respect Krishna's devotees? By following their instructions, according to their desire, and chanting Krishna Nam. Nihari Prabhu?
It doesn't mean that if we actually strive to become pure Guru Krishna, become a complete son to Krishna, in other words, become, premium baptist, loving Guru. And then with that, automatically we know what respect is. We can respect everyone, because if you become devoted to Krishna and just be satisfied with Krishna, then everybody else is satisfied. But because you put that first of pouring water into the tree, is that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
When you love Krishna, love everyone else.
Yes.
That way,
yeah. And Sanatana Goswami, we were describing this a few days ago, he says an interesting thing. He says that this respect comes naturally, this humility comes naturally, which is an element of respect, when someone develops prema. But he says also in the sadhak stages, we should still cultivate this respect and this humility in three ways, with our body, mind, and words. And especially we do that through service to Guru, by following instructions of Guru. And if we do that, then everyone will be pleased. And we see that when a devotee works very hard and he's trying to please Guru and Krishna, everyone becomes happy with that. Whereas if someone tries to say that I'm a devotee of Krishna, but he's not pleasing Guru and the Vaishnavas, Ye me bhakti jana partana me bhakti sate jana. My bhaktanam to ye bhakti sate me bhakti tamamataha. Krishna doesn't accept that. Krishna says he's not my devotee. Those people say they're my devotee. They're not really my devotee. My devotee is a devotee of my devotee. He's the topmost person. Okay. Prabhuji? A first-class devotee might do that, but we shouldn't consider ourselves first-class devotees. We should consider ourselves tenth-class devotees, and we should simply follow the instructions of our Gurudev. For that reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Murkatumi toma Vedanta Nahika Adhikar. My Gurudev told me, you're a fool, and you don't have qualification to study Shastra. You can't understand this thing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying like that. We should also do like that. And follow the instruction of Guru. Follow the desire of Guru. Gurudev will be pleased if we worship Krishna. He gets some relishment from that. That's his purpose in coming. Guru didn't come to say, worship me and make a deity of me. His purpose in coming is to say to worship Krishna. And if we do that, he'll be very happy and pleased. He'll fulfill his purpose in coming here. Okay? Yes, a gentleman doesn't speak beyond his realization, but at the same time, if we follow that, then how can we speak anything? What can we say? Can we really say that if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy? Can we even say that? Where, at least myself, I'm so miserable always. What can we really say? We have another instruction. Srila Prabhupada told us, you go out and repeat what you've heard. But we should understand that those words, they don't belong to us. Those words belong to Srila Prabhupada. Those words belong to our acharyas. And we're just trying to repeat them. We're trying to be their instrument. We're trying to represent them. And we're trying to let people meet Srila Prabhupada through the form of repeating Prabhupada's words. There's a big difference between our repeating what Prabhupada said and Prabhupada's words himself. We should always understand that. Sadguru comes, and his purpose, our Guru Maharaj used to say, is to speak Sabda Brahma. He's a realized person. Jiva Goswami, he says, there's two types of speakers of Harikata, the Niragvakta and the Saragvakta. Or the speaker without material desires and the speaker with material desires. He says, the speaker who has no material desires, he's a real speaker. And the speaker who has material desires, his words don't have so much effect. Our Guru Maharaj used to say, just like blank fire. You have a gun, and it has some bullets in it, but they're blanks. You may have a machine gun, and you fire that gun, and it makes a big noise. And everyone becomes very excited and frightened, but nothing happens. It just makes a big noise. So our preaching is something like that. But when Srila Prabhupada or Sadhu Guru comes, and they speak something, it has great, great potency. So then what is the purpose of our speaking? You may say, what is the purpose of you giving all these classes and things? Our Guru Maharaj used to say the function of Sadhu Guru is to speak Harikata. He speaks Sabda Brahma. The function of the disciple is to listen. And then after he's heard, the duty of the disciple is to repeat what he's heard from his Guru. But his repetition, his kirtan, is another name for shravan. He just repeats what he's heard from his Guru, and we speak for our benefit. We're doing it as some service. My Guru Maharaj told me, if someone asks you to speak, you must. He told me you should just repeat what you've heard from your Guru and the previous acharyas. And he said, and don't think it belongs to you. So if we do that, it's for our benefit. We're doing it as a service. When the pujari goes on the altar and is offering arti to the deities, wow, it's pretty far out. He's associating directly with Krishna. Or is he? What is he doing? Actually, he's engaging himself in his Guru's service. His Gurudev is rendering service to the deity. And the Guru, he's engaging his disciples. Yuktasya bhaktams chana yunjatopi. He's telling him, you do this service, I can't be everywhere, so you do this artik, but here's how you do it. You use these articles, you use incense, you use a ghee lamp, you use a chamara. Don't speculate, don't give Krishna a hand phone. Don't give Krishna some Levi jeans to wear or something. You serve him in a particular way. And that devotee, he goes there and he begins his worship, Sri Guru Paramananda Premananda Phalapada. Please, Gurudev, please let me do this on your behalf. And he's thinking, I'm not doing this. My Gurudev is doing this. So when we speak Harikatha, when we preach to someone, we should have the same kind of mood. That this is like a worship of the deity, speaking Harikatha. And we should use the same paraphernalia that our Gurudev has given us. Meaning we should quote verses, we should repeat those things that he's given us. And it's his activity. It doesn't belong to us. And in fact, that's the business of Sadhu Guru. Prabhupada said it of himself many times. He says, my qualification is, I'm simply repeating what I've heard from my Gurudev. Our Guru Maharaj used to say that the qualification of Sadhu Guru is that he doesn't change anything. He's simply a pipe. And he conveys that message. And if he thinks that he's the source of water, the reservoir, then sarvanas, everything is finished. He just thinks, I'm just carrying out, passing on what I've heard from my Gurudev. Is that okay? Very good question. Okay, is there anything else? Mataji? Then we should do the same thing. We should chant Hare Krishna. We should come to the temple. We should worship Krishna. But we should cry in our heart. And if we cry in our heart, then Krishna will send Guru. But if we try to find Guru with our external senses, then we'll always be cheated. So we can take shelter of Srila Prabhupada. What does it mean to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada gave general instructions for everyone. Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, follow four regulated principles, read my books, help my movement, come to the temple, cooperate with my devotees. If we do that and we follow Prabhupada's instructions and we pray to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada's there. Everyone is coming to this society and we're depending on Srila Prabhupada. We're praying to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And we have Guru Puja every day. But we should completely depend on Prabhupada. When we want to find Guru, we should pray to Prabhupada. Prabhupada will help. He's there. And that's been my personal experience. Prabhupada, send us Guru. He'll do that thing. No. We judge someone by their devotion. We shouldn't look whether they have a guru or don't have a guru. Everyone has a guru somewhere. They may have had a guru in a previous life. Who was the guru of Haridas Thakur? We don't know. There's no description given of who initiated Haridas Thakur. But we all chant Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Every day is such a great personality. But our acharyas say that in some birth, you have to have some guru. And we shouldn't think that, oh, it's not necessary to have guru in this life. Maybe I had a guru in my last life or something. We should always pray for that. Tuliyama laveinapi nasvargam na punarbhavam bhagavat sangi sangasya martyanam kimutasi saha. The prajetas, when they had darshan of Lord Vishnu said, okay, what do you want? And they told him this verse, that we don't want anything. We don't want swargalok. We don't even want liberation. We want something better than liberation. And what is that? Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya. We want association with your devotee. We should always hanker for association with Krishna's pure devotee and for guidance by Krishna's devotee. That's our system of bhakti. We can't approach Krishna directly. He won't accept that. Is that okay? What did you? What are the symptoms of someone who's committed offense? There may be some external symptoms. Sometimes we read in Chaitanya Bhagavat and other places that devotees, they may get leprosy. So many things may happen. But the internal things are more that what happens. That devotee will lose taste for the holy name. The devotee, he'll become more proud. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes this in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. Become more and more proud. His humility will go away. He'll start criticizing other people. He may even start criticizing his guru like that. It's a very, very dangerous thing. Okay, anything else, Mataji? His guru predestined. Some people may say like that, I don't know. But we should always cry and cry to Krishna for guru. If we do that, Krishna is there. Krishna will definitely send us guru. That guru may be, we may have some relationship with him from some previous life. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada said that to some devotees, that you and I were friends in a previous life or something. That may be there. It may be considered predestined in that sense. But I don't think we should depend upon that and just wait for that thing to come. We should search for guru. But that search should be a search in the heart, an internal search, because we can't see who's guru. Even Yashoda and Rohini couldn't recognize Putana. What to speak of ourself? If we go to the marketplace and try to pick out a guru based on our material senses, who knows what we're going to get? We'll be cheated. We have to depend on Krishna. That's the system. So Prabhupada gave us this system. Even before initiation, we chant 16 rounds. We worship Krishna. We come to the temple. And while doing that, we should be praying to Krishna and crying in our heart, you please give me guru. I don't know who guru is. Srila Prabhupada describes this in a number of places. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta describes this. It's our system. That we should cry to Krishna and Krishna will send us guru. Okay? Anything else? Is there a way? Yes, this is the way. We have to depend on Krishna. Mataji? Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishchaya Dharyat. We should be very enthusiastic, we should be patient, and we should be very confident. But how will we get that enthusiasm, that patience, and that confidence? Through sadhu sangha. If we associate with devotees, with sadhu, who's very, very enthusiastic, who's very serious about Krishna consciousness, our problem is we're not very serious. We're chanting, we're getting up in the morning, but we're not so serious about getting Krishna praying. We have so many other things in our minds, so many other different desires. Because we have no experience of that. We've never seen someone who's serious. But if we can associate with sadhu, who's really serious, then we can imbibe that thing. And we can develop those qualities of enthusiasm, patience, and confidence. They're very important. In the meantime, we can associate with Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami through his books and Prabhupada through his books. But we shouldn't be satisfied with that alone, because it's very difficult to get personal instructions from the books. You can ask the book, my dear book, should I get married or should I take sannyas? And then you put the book there. You may get some instruction. Sometimes you're reading in the book and we get some inspiration or something. But our system is a personal one. Krishna's a person and he's approached through his devotees. And if we try to say, well, it's not necessary to go through Krishna in that way, I can just read a book, Krishna's not going to be pleased by that. We should always look for sadhu sangha. No one who says he's a first class devotee. Sometimes people, they say that there's no sadhus in ISKCON. Our Guru Maharaj, he would become very annoyed with that. He said the sadhu is always present. And the proof is that the sun is shining, the rain is coming, this universe is going on. Padma Purana describes this. Sangsara Vaishnavadino, Deva Vaishnava Palitaha, Ahamcha Vaishnavadinas, Tasmat Shreshtashtha Vaishnavaha. Krishna tells Arjuna, in Padma Purana, he says that this universe is based upon the presence of sadhus. Without the sadhus, this universe can't exist. That's the purpose of this universe. It's for sadhus to be here, to give association. If there's no sadhu, then the universe is finished. Sangsara Vaishnava Adino, Deva Vaishnava Palita, the demigods who are maintaining this universe with the sun and the heat and the light and water and air, they're all nourished and maintained by the Vaishnavas. Krishna says, what to speak of them? Aham cha Vaishnava Adinas. I can't exist without the Vaishnavas. If Krishna exists, then we have to know the Vaishnavas also exist. Tasmat Shresthasya Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is the topmost person. Some people have the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu's philosophy was, Krishna's not here. What do you mean, Prahlad, Krishna's everywhere? Is Krishna in this pillar? Yes, Father, Krishna's in this pillar also. Then Hiranyakashipu got a big surprise. So some people, they have the philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. They think there's no sadhu present. But if Krishna's everywhere, sadhu has to be there also. Because Krishna can't tolerate being without his devotees. It's a demoniac philosophy. It's a philosophy of Hiranyakashipu. Okay? Anything else? If we said anything wrong, you please forgive us. Anchakopa dhrubhischa. Kripa sindhu bhyeva cha. Patita nam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Binda ki jai, Gop Premanandi, Hari Hari Hari.